listening to Dr. Rob White with the AULC Ministries. Scan the QR code to visit our website at aulc.us and find us on Roku, Amazon Fire TV and TalkShoe.
The following presentation is from a new series from Dr. Rob White called Blast from the Past. In this series, Dr. Rob will feature past sermons that were recorded live. We hope you enjoy this new series.
Let's open in a prayer. Heavenly Father, today we open your word to yet more verses, more scriptures that relate to us. And we just ask, Lord, that you'll be with us during this time today together and open our ears. Let those with ears hear, as your scripture says, and just be with us so that we can each in our own way hear what is valid for us today. We ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 to 31. This is why I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add a single cubit to his height by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Learn how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now there was a certain preacher who was known for having a very uplifting prayer every time he prayed. He always found something for which he could be grateful and thankful for. One Sunday morning, the weather was so cold and it was dark and it was gloomy out. One of the church members thought to himself, I'll bet the preacher won't be able to think of anything for which to be thankful to God today. But to his surprise, however, the preacher began by praying, Gracious God, we thank you that the weather's not always like this. He found the silver lining. Now, you and I have a lot to be thankful for. We're coming up into our Thanksgiving, what we celebrate Thanksgiving here on Thursday. And sometimes it doesn't take like Thanksgiving, but it takes sometimes a special day or a holiday for people to go to church or just to become thankful. I was reminded by one of my veteran friends yesterday that he, every time Memorial Day and Veterans Day rolls around, he is thankful. Not that, you know, he survived, but he was thankful to have the friends that he lost during his time of fighting. And thankful to be here with other friends. Sometimes we even need to take time just to give thanks to God. Sometimes it seems like we don't have any problem coming up with a list of needs or wants or desires, but it's really hard at times for us to come up with things to be thankful for. Well, I ran across a short list that I thought was appropriate for our sermon today. Many of you, I think, will identify with this list, especially the women, because I don't know who wrote this list of seven things to be thankful for, but I'm pretty sure it was a woman. It was a mom. Starts out, number one, for automatic dishwashers. She's thankful for automatic dishwashers. They make it possible to get out of the kitchen before the family comes in for after-dinner snacks. And she's thankful for husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house because they usually make them big enough to call a professional in to fix it. She's thankful for a bathtub because it's one place that the family allows her to have time to herself. She's thankful for her children who put away their things and clean up after themselves because they're such a joy that you hate to see go home to their own lives or the grandchildren to go home to their parents. She's thankful for gardening. It's a relief to deal with dirt outside of the house for change. She's thankful for teenagers because it gives parents an opportunity to learn a second language. And she's thankful for smoke alarms because that's how you know the turkey's done.
I don't burn the turkey.
It works at our house, yeah. No, it doesn't, but Thanksgiving is just around the corner, like I said. Thursday means we'll be getting together with friends and with family. And sometimes that's all there is to the biblical understanding of Thanksgiving and what it means to give thanks. And some people have asked, is this the only time that we can give thanks? And I think that's a great question, because I think giving thanks and Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. It's not just a day to celebrate it. It's more about an attitude than it is for the platitudes and the virtues of giving thanks. What God wants is a grateful heart, which leads to a grateful life. Now, the Sermon on the Mount, it continues. We was talking about this earlier where, you know, Jesus, that was part of his dissertation on the Sermon on the Mount of the Lord's Prayer. And he continues on with some of his most beautiful teachings in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, don't be anxious for your body. Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't toil, neither do they spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed like one of these. In the Jesus film that we was talking about earlier, Jesus is walking through a meadow with his disciples. And there's all these lilies and wildflowers growing around. And it's all this beautiful colors throughout. And Jesus is talking about this very thing right here that, you know, Solomon, in all of his attire and all, didn't dress as wonderfully as these flowers are dressed by God. The words that he uses kind of rolls off the tongue like poetry. And they give us comfort, and they remind us that God is with us and that God will take care of us. And God will provide for everything that we need and give us a full and abundant life. It's just like the hymn that we'll sing at the end today, God will take care of you. It says, be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. And don't let the poetry fool you, though, because the teaching of Jesus is as plain and uncompromising as anything we've heard before. He said different things like, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Don't be angry. Turn the other cheek. Love your enemy. And the word for today is no exception. Don't worry about tomorrow. And practically speaking, that's almost impossible for us to do, to not worry. We can always find something to worry about. For instance, we worry about the weather, whether we've had too much rain or not enough rain, or whether it's too hot or too cold. We worry about the economy and the loss of jobs, the rising debt, the likelihood of new taxes. And we worry about growing inflation. And we worry about security and the threat of terrorism, illegal immigration, and the impact it's having on our country. Lately, in the news, illegal immigration has been the forefront of the news with all these people marching across Mexico to try to come across our borders illegally. We worry about our health and the safety of our loved ones and the condition of our schools and whether or not we get to keep our hospital. We've had that worry in this community before. We've almost lost our hospital. And then the changing face of our own communities. We worry about putting on weight and growing bald. And I just lost my note. There it is. Growing bald and this, you know, whether we need hearing aids. Many of us need hearing aids, and some of us don't want to admit that. Whether or not we'll have to have surgery or not, that's always a big worry. The list just goes on and on and on. Jesus tells us, it's plain and simple terms. He says, don't worry. But we do it anyway. We still worry. It's just in our genetic makeup that we worry. It's as if When we were born and passed on the worry gene, and that's the first thing we do is we start worrying as soon as we're born. Now, some are better than others at worrying. I've had members of churches that I've been at over the years who would qualify as a professional worrier. Now, you might be one of those professional worriers. They watch the news and they hear about a storm coming and it's brewing off in Bangladesh or somewhere, and yet they're worried that it's going to hit here. And they wring their hands and they worry and they get sick of worry because this storm may hit us, but it's 3,000 miles away. There's no way it's going to hit us. By the time the storm passes on the news, they'll find something new to worry about. And if you're not careful, worrying can become a way of life. It gives you a false sense of importance, as to say, but by worrying, you somehow are making a difference. There's not much more I've got to say about worrying for now, but let's be clear. Jesus tells us not to worry. It's not the first time that we've heard this different passage where Jesus says, don't worry. The admonition not to worry echoes throughout the pages of the Bible. In Paul's letter to the Philippians later on, it says, in nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. That's in Philippians 4. In Psalms 55, the psalmist writes, cast your burden on Yahweh. He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be moved. And in Isaiah, we read, don't you be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And just before Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, he told his disciples not to worry. In John 14, he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many homes. And in 1 Peter, we read, casting all your worries on him because he cares for you. The bottom line is, we're taught not to worry by Jesus. But what do? We do it anyway. In our passage today, Jesus tells us what life looks like. And we've read most of this already, but he talks about which of you, by being anxious, can add one moment to his lifespan. Can we add more life to worrying? No, medical science has proven that it actually causes us to die faster. Why are you anxious about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Don't be anxious. What will you eat? What will you drink? What will you be clothed with? He goes on to say, for the Gentiles seek after all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't be anxious for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Each day's own evil is sufficient. So, what does that tell us about a grateful life? In my mind, that verse in 33 there sums it up when it says, strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We do all that through three things: a thankful heart, thankful focus, and thankful living. Now, we make a mistake when we equate being thankful and thanksgiving with just giving thanks for things like abundance of food and possessions and maybe less concrete things like health and friendships and peace and security. And there's nothing wrong with giving thanks for these things, but thanksgiving goes deeper than that and for the stuff and the things of life. When things are going good, it's hard to remember to call on God. And when we forget, things kind of fall apart. Then we want to blame God and we want to get mad at God. And we like to holler, why are you doing this to me, Lord? What did I do wrong? Why am I being punished? When it's not God's fault at all. It's hard to be faithful and thankful in good times when things are going our way. It's hard because we begin to think that, well, we did all of this. God didn't have anything to do with it. We begin to think that how well we are doing because we start to equate God's blessings with things of prosperity and the stuff of the world. We begin to think that because I got that raise at work or I won the lottery or whatever, now I did that. God had nothing to do with it. Sometimes it's even despair or failure and uncertainty that we only remember to open back up and be thankful and to thank God and to ask for His blessings and to ask for some thankful living. For some, it's only when we're down and out that we look up. It's not really what God wants. God wants a heartfelt, ongoing relationship that isn't dependent on any stuff of life. We're not in some codependent relationship with God, and God has to prove to us His love by continually giving us stuff and lavishing us with gifts and blessings. God's already given us the greatest and most costly gift possible, and that was His Son, Jesus Christ, and our salvation. And as a consequence, all God desires is a thankful heart and one that is striving first for the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. John Kitna, a quarterback for the Detroit Lions, was credited with being a large part of the Cincinnati Bengals' dramatic turnaround a few years ago. But I don't know how many are sports fans. I'm not. I read the article. Kitna was fined for wearing a hat with a cross on it at a post-game interview. The fine was imposed because players were not allowed to wear anything that did not have the NFL logo on it. And he was wearing unapproved gear by wearing the hat. Kitna was more than willing to pay the fine. The NFL later suspended the fine, and the Bengals fans didn't like it at all, so they began to wear hats just like Kitna's with crosses on them whenever they went to a game to protest, kind of a protest of solidarity. And standing up for the cross isn't new for John Kitna. In an interview in a local newspaper, Kitna was asked what he was most thankful for. He replied, "The first thing is that whenever I breathe my last breath, the next moment I'm going to be looking at Jesus. I'm thankful that 10 years ago, and this would have been in 2003, in October of 1993, God grabbed my heart and changed my heart and opened my eyes to what life is really meant to be." Now that is a thankful heart. A thankful heart gives us a thankful focus in life and faith. I believe the whole point of Thanksgiving is to remind us that God is still very much alive and He's active. And it's to remind us that God is continually seeking a relationship with us. For most people, though, Thanksgiving is just another excuse to eat too much and spend time with family members that they may or may not really like. And sometimes it even includes everyone sharing one thing that they're thankful for. For years, my late wife and I, when we would have a Thanksgiving dinner, before we would eat, we would pray, and then we would go around and say what we was thankful for. The kids hated it, but they dug in, and the grandkids dug in, and they went along with it. The biblical view of Thanksgiving is not much about feeling grateful for things or blessings such as food or love of family, but rather it's a way of looking at life where God is the center of everything that we are and all that we can be. And it's about the most essential relationship in our lives. It's a relationship that changes how we look at everything in life. It's truly about reminding ourselves that God is first. It's about reminding ourselves that God is in charge of our life. And it's about reminding ourselves that God's the creator and that we are His creation. When we acknowledge that, it allows us to step down off of the throne of a king or queen of the universe. And it's back, it's only then when we give up the control that many of us have. We can put control back in God's hands. Thankfulness from the biblical perspective is a way of relating to and with God. And it's not an attitude towards material things. True thanksgiving is a relationship with God that reminds us and others that we depend on God for everything that we are and all we can be. This living thanksgiving shows that God isn't some add-on in our lives, but it's the essential part of who we are and can be. It's a relationship that is reflected in the focus of our lives. Charles Dickens, a renowned author, which you might all recognize his name, he once visited America. He gave some lectures across the country. He told one audience that we, here in this country, are a bit mixed up. He said we shouldn't have just one Thanksgiving day, but we should have 364 Thanksgiving days. That would give us one day for complaining and griping. The other 364 days could be used to thank God. That's what I mean by a thankful focus. A thankful focus leads to thankful living. Some years ago, some families made a point of having an evening meal together so they could talk and be a family. There was no television, there was no games or anything. They would sit around the table and they would eat and they would fellowship. They would always set an extra place at the table because they didn't know if someone was going to drop in. And like the empty chair that sits in front of the altars in many churches, they would call it a Jesus chair. Now, I don't know how many times Jesus would visit these families, but I'm sure they had plenty of unexpected guests at their table, some in the form of children's friends that was coming over, some in the form of other friends, some in the form of someone just needing a meal. You might even have an empty chair and an extra place setting at your Thanksgiving table to remind you that Jesus is our unseen guest at every meal and in every conversation, and to remind you that we've been blessed not so much by material things, but with a God who loves us unconditionally. As I close, it's a thankful heart, a thankful focus, and thankful living, which helps us to strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Once upon a time, there was a faraway land that was ruled by a vicious king. His iron fist reached into every corner of his subjects' lives, every corner except for one. Try as he might, he could not destroy their belief in God. In his frustration, he finally summoned his advisors and he asked them, "Where can I hide God so that the people will forget about him?" One suggested that God be hid on the dark side of the moon. The idea was debated, but it was voted down because the advisors feared scientists might one day discover how to travel into space and they would find God all over again. Another suggests burying God in the deepest part of the ocean, but the same idea was shot down because they might build deep sea diving vehicles and go down and find God. Another idea was suggested and debated and rejected. And one after another, until finally the oldest and wisest advisor had a flash of insight. He says, "I know. Why don't we hide God where no one will even think to look for him?" And he explained, "If we hide God in the ordinary events of people's lives, they'll never find him." And so it was done. And they say that people in this land are still looking for God today. In our striving for the kingdom of God, maybe the best way for us is to express our gratitude to God, even though platitudes might be enough, but we need to celebrate God's presence every single day, 365 days a year, through thankful living. And as you gather this week with family and friends and to celebrate Thanksgiving, remember to set an extra place, because let your gratitude of what God has done for you through Christ flow into every aspect of your life. That's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope that you got a blessing out of it. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Those are definitely words we needed to hear. Many times we do forget, when the times are good, to thank you. We forget to even remember you sometimes when the times are going good. Only times when we are down in the valley and we can't see our way out. Looking up is the only way, and when we look up, we see you, Lord. We just ask that you continue to be with us, continue to bless us and keep us. Be with us this Thanksgiving week as we go through our own thankful living. We ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Go out this week and be a blessing, because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you all for coming. We'll see you all next Sunday, and have a happy Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Thank you for watching and listening to Dr. Rob White with the AULC Ministries. Athens Universal Life Church is a not-for-profit 501c3 organization. This production is an AULC Studios video production, copyright 2012 to 2023, all rights reserved.